So I want to talk to you today about faith released through your praise and through your worship. Now, I know we know that praise and worship is vital. We've been taught that. This church is huge on worship. You know, before we were senior pastors, we were worship pastors for probably over 15 years. And music is such a huge part of my family. Every one of us sing or play and or play. And y'all know that. It's just a big part of our heart with worship. But and so because of that, worship has been such a vital tool for us. And I say tool, it's a way of life. When we first began the church, Pastor Steve moved. He came up here before me, and he was praying about what we should do. And he said, I think we're supposed to start a church. And I went, no, no, because I always said I didn't want a pastor, you know, because I didn't feel equipped. I didn't feel like that was, you know. And he said, no, the Lord said we're supposed to pastor, and he wants us to call it, and this was our beginnings, call it Worship Life. Because in being a worshiper and leading people with worship, you know, we were on staff, some of y'all know, at a pretty large church, and there was like four different services, a Saturday night, three Sunday mornings, Sunday night. And I felt like all I was doing was worshiping. And after a while, it can become mundane if you don't listen to what I'm saying, if you don't have your heart in the right place. Because you can sing a song, sing a song, sing a song, and it just be a song that you're singing. You know what I'm saying? It has to be more than just a song. It has to be a heart lifted. It has to be a life of worship. So, and it's not just a song. A song is just a part of it, but it's your whole life. Everything you do is worship unto God. How you treat one another, your giving is worship. How you do your job, how you train up your kids, how you're communicating with people, all that can be a part of your life of worship. It's an extension of who we are. And so you know, and right now I've had an opportunity, as some of y'all know, I help out with Pastor Mark Hankins with his meetings. I help out with the Dufresne meetings. And so the last time I was up in California at the Dufresne meetings, I'm singing a song and I'm thinking, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean? What am I doing?" And I heard him say, "Are you really worshiping, or are you just singing a song?" And I was like, "Well, Lord, I think I'm worshiping." And I felt like he was correcting me. He said, "No, you're just going through the motions." It can become so easy to get into that place of, "I'm just playing an instrument. I'm just singing a song. I'm just coming to church. This is Sunday. This is what I do. This is Wednesday. This is what I do." Or on a daily basis, "I'm just sitting down with the Word. This is what I do." And it becomes a part of just your everyday routine, your every Sunday routine. You get what I'm saying? Am I speaking to the choir a little bit here? Because I know this isn't just me. But, and so, you know, I mean, when you've been singing all your life, you open your mouth and sing. And so it's like, "Well, I'm just singing. I'm worship." And Lord says, "No, you need to check your heart. Are you really worshiping? Are you here for me? Or are you here for you?" And so, you know, I got to thinking about that. Okay, Lord. I made an adjustment. I made an adjustment with my heart. And for the whole week, you know, we're doing multiple services the whole week, I'm thinking, "I'm here for you. This is for you. This is all about you. This is not about me. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I sound like." You know, because as a musician, you can get caught up with how you sound, how you're presenting yourself, all the things, the mechanics of things, you know? And then you can get into a group where, you know, somebody tells you to, "No, you're singing that wrong. Your pitch is wrong. Let's sing a different song." We can practice a whole set of songs and then get up and say, the leader say, "We're doing something totally else." And you're like, totally different. You're like, "Wait a minute. We just practiced all that and now we're going to do all that." And so then offense can rise up and you get into this place of offense. And all of a sudden, you're not a good instrument anymore. You're not an instrument of his praise or his glory because you've got offense in your heart. You're carrying something that's frustrating. It's a distraction. And how can the Holy Spirit use that? You see what I mean? And so, and I'm just talking because all of us are worshipers. I'm not just saying just me because I sing. all of us are worshipers, and all of us need to have this heart when we come into the presence of God, that when we're coming in offering up a sacrifice of praise. It's not about how we sound, how we look. I mean, it's great to sound good because you don't want to be a distraction, you know. But we work on those things. We work on the particulars as best we can. And then when we get into that place, we just offer up what we have. And we allow the Holy Spirit to take over and the anointing to saturate. So we don't get caught up in all the things. And as I was preparing this, the Lord said, this is the way it is for everybody. When we come into this place, we don't go, I don't like that song. I don't like what she's wearing. I don't like, you know, I want to sit down. I don't want to stand so long. Why is Pastor Kim talking again? You know, and we can come in with a critical spirit. And that spirit can take over. And before you know it, you know who misses out? You. Because the Holy Spirit is here to reveal himself, to pour himself out, to do something amazing in your life, to bring revelation and inspiration and impartations in your heart. But you can come in, we can come in, I include myself in this, and say, I don't like this, I don't like that, I'm too tired. I stayed up too late, I was up all night. You guys don't know what I'm going through. What time is it? I'm hungry. All the thoughts. And we live in a distracted world. Y'all, it's so, how many have issues with focus nowadays? It's like, I mean, probably every one of us, is like, if you're on social media at all, it's like, get off, get off, get off. You know, you got to make yourself focus on something else. You know what I mean? And we're an instant world. We want instant. We want our coffee. And if it's not fast enough, I want to go through the drive-thru at my McDonald's. And if it's not fast enough, not McDonald's, but, you know, that's not good for you. But anyways, you know what I'm saying? It's like, we can be wanting things so quickly and so fast, and if it's not in our timing, you're a bad company. And I think we've gotten that way with God. If it's not in my timing, God's not going to do it. There must be something wrong. I'm doing something wrong, or I'm missing it somewhere, and that's religion talking to you, saying you got to do something to earn it. Jesus already paid the price. He already did everything he could do for you to have everything you need pertaining to life and godliness today. Today's the day of salvation. Amen. So we can have what we need right now. We have to ignore the clock. We receive it by faith. Pastor C's been talking to us about it being entering into the realm of the Spirit, that we partake out of the realm of the Spirit. We are so naturally minded. We are so, you know, I'm sitting in one of the services a few months ago, and this was, they were teaching on praise and worship, and they were encouraging, Pastor Nancy was encouraging us, talking about how important it is for us to not follow our flesh. I know Pastor Mark's really big on it too. Don't listen to your flesh. You need to praise. You need to worship. And we hear that, and we're like, yeah, 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 yeah. You know, if a lot of churches, if we're not done with praise and worship by 20 minutes, they're watching the clock. Got to be done. Got to have the word done in 20 minutes. Got to be out of here in an hour. I don't know. That's not my kind of church. I want the Holy Ghost to flow. I don't want to put him on a time clock. Amen. I want him to do what he wants to do, and I want to take time in his presence and saturate. You know why it's important for us to lift up praise and worship and to not worry about the timing of things? Because it sometimes there takes a time for us to shift gears from our flesh to the Spirit. Unless you're operating in this place on a daily basis, and I would venture to say that most are not, you don't know if you're in the Spirit or in the flesh. If your mind is saying, I'm done, let's move on, then you're listening to your flesh. If we get up and say, let's dance in the Spirit, and you're like, nope, that's not for me, that's not me. Maybe you need to follow the lead of the Holy Ghost. If we say, let's put on some joy, let's say, ha, 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 let's follow the lead of the Holy Ghost. Because there's something the Holy Ghost wants to do. He wants to show up and show out. And we got to follow the lead of whatever's going on in front to flow with what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Amen? I heard this testimony of this minister. I think he was in the 30s. He was in this huge auditorium, like a civic center. It was a 10,000, 15,000 seated auditorium. And all these people were worshiping. And you've probably been in one of these meetings. Everybody's worshiping, their hands are lifted. There's this big sound, this big momentum. Ah, praises. And this minister was telling God, man, this is so amazing. You must be so loving this. These people are worshiping you. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, not everybody is worshiping in spirit and in truth. And he opened his eyes and he saw shafts of light here and there in the room, here and there. And those were the ones who were really hooked up in spirit and in truth worshiping. The others had just kind of gone through the motions. Now, I know there's a shifting of gears. You have to get your body to line up with where your spirit man's wanting to go. So you have to tell it, no, you're going to worship. I'm just going to be honest, when you're up here worshiping sometime as a leader and you're looking out and someone's distracted or they're, you know, messing with their kid or whatever, and we have to do the things. But if you're following the lead of someone else out here that's having a bad day, I'll just put it that way, you're not following the lead of the Holy Ghost. You're following the lead of other people. And I refuse to follow the leading of somebody else when it's my time to worship and to lift up praises to God. I'm going to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit because that's what I'm here for. I'm here to lift up the name of Jesus. We have a short few moments, an hour and a half or so, where we come in and lift up the name of Jesus. I'm totally off of my notes, sorry. So anyways, John 4:23. A time will come, however, indeed it is here. It's here. When the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, in reality. For the Father is seeking just such people as these as his worshipers. And then 24, God is a spirit. He's a spirit being. We know this. We are spirit. We live in a body. We have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. We're a three-part being. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. My spirit man must worship. Not just my hands, not just my mind, but my spirit needs to worship him. And sometimes it takes time to shift gears from what's going on out there and in your pocketbook and in your bank and in your relationships and in your jobs and shift gears over to worshiping him. Amen. That's why it's important that we do it on a daily basis. So we have an understanding that I have to worship him. I have to praise him. I have to worship him. Psalm 107:8 says, oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness, his wonderful works to the children of men. I'm never going to get through my notes if I don't stay on them. So I'm going to do my best to stick with the plan here. So when you pray, and this is a quote from, I believe it was, Brother Copeland, when you pray, you lay hold of things. But when you praise, you win battles. When you pray, you lay hold of things. When you praise, you win battles. Don't try and use things that don't help you win battles, like fear, manipulation, being controlled by religion. What wins battles is praise. Now, I heard this testimony of a man. He was an evangelist, and he had been diagnosed with tuberculosis. And so he kept traveling. He was newly married, had a new baby, kept traveling, and he told the people everywhere he went, every meeting, he said, I've been diagnosed, but I'm believing God, so pray with me, believe with me. So everywhere he went for about a year, he had all these people praying, lots of prayer going up for this man on his behalf, praying and believing God that he would be healed. Excuse me. And he, after a time, he started becoming more and more weak. He got to the point where he couldn't go anymore. So then he moved in with his in-laws. They wanted to help him. So he's in the house. And one day he loved being outside. He looks out the window and he sees this line of trees and he thinks, if I could just get outside, I'll just lie outside. If God wants to take me out there, I'll just lie outside. I just need to be out in the open air. Because, you know, when you're sick and you're looking at the same four walls, it can become very mundane. It can become very discouraging. It can become overwhelmingly discouraging. And so he crawled outside. His family wasn't there. He crawled outside and went and laid under these trees, and he could barely breathe. And he started praising God, barely be able to breathe. Lord, I praise you, with just the little breath they had. I praise you, God. I praise you, God. He did that about 2 hours. after 2 hours, he was able to say it out loud. I praise you. I praise you. He didn't get creative. He didn't have any creative bones in his body at that point. He was just wanting to live. I praise you, God. I praise you. Kept going. They said for houses down the road, they could hear him yelling, I praise you. I worship you. I thank you, Lord. You're my healer. You're my provider. I worship you, God. You're awesome. I thank you, Lord. And he was healed. All the prayers of the saints through the years lay hold of something. I'm not saying it doesn't do something because we're all about praying. You know that. But it laid hold of something. But his praise gave access to the power and what was available to him. He is a possessor of the inheritance of what God had provided for him through Jesus. But he made access. He gave way to it by opening his mouth and saying something about his God, being his healer. Isn't that good? And that is what won the battle. His praises won the battle. I'm telling you, this is where we're missing it. This is where we're missing it. I want to encourage you, if you are believing God for a breakthrough in your life, praise your way through to the other side. Praise your way through to the other side. How many of y'all know who Norval Hayes is? He was a big healing ministry, and he said the Lord told him this, my children basically love me, but they live in poverty, defeat, and sickness. They don't live in heaven's blessing because they don't worship me long enough. They need to stay long enough for the manifestation of the anointing to manifest and break the yoke. Praise God. Praise God. So worshipers receive more. I believe we do. Worshipers will receive more. So he said the Lord told him, teach people to worship me more and they'll receive more. I'll do great and mighty things for them. So worship keeps us in the heavenly flow. There's a heavenly flow going all the time. And when we get in that place of worship, what does worship do? What the word says that he inhabits the praises of his people. He lives there. So why not give him a place to live? Why not invite him into your home with some worship, with some praise, and allow him to inhabit your praises? I like to say this. He inhabits the praises of his saints, and the enemy inhabits the complaints of the saints. If you're complaining, you betcha somebody's inhabiting that place. If you're talking about the problem, somebody's coming in and inhabiting that place. Somebody's like, what you magnify is what's going to manifest in your life. I love the saying my husband has said, your choice of meditation is your choice of worship. What you're meditating on, what you're talking about, that's your meditation. And what you're talking about, you want to find out what you're meditating on, let me just sit down with you for 5 minutes and hear what you have to say. Because that's what you're thinking about. And we know this is where the battlefield is. So when the battlefield and the mind is taking over, it takes over the lips. The lips start declaring life or death. There's power in that one way or another. And so why not get on the praise side? On the victory side. We already have it. We don't have to get it. It's already a place that we worship him from. Amen. So we should all be worshipers. How many worshipers do I have in the house? Praise and worship flow together. Praise is we praise him for who he is, for who we are in Christ and what he has done and what belongs to us for our victories. Amen. And then worship is focused on who he is. So I love that. They go together, praise and worship. So we are possessors of the inheritance of God, but praising turns us into partakers. Praising helps us lay hold of what is ours. I have a bank account, and if I never partake of that bank account, I might possess it, but I don't reap the benefits of having it if I don't ever partake of it. We are possessors of healing, of life, of riches, of blessings. We are the blessing. We just heard about the blessing in our life. That's a part of our life. But if we're holding on to it and we're not partaking of it, then we never reap the benefits from it. I have a kitchen and I have food in my refrigerator and food in my pantry and I possess those things. But if I never go in and partake, then I never reap the benefit from it, right? Praise God. And so it's important for us to have an understanding that we need to be possessors, and the possessor is in his in knowing who, that's where we get in the Word, we find out what belongs to us, but then how we partake of it is through praise, through worship. Amen. We open our mouth and say something about how big our God is. We release our faith when we worship God. This morning when we came in, I thought, you know, everyone's coming in here and we're lifting up our voice and we're singing about how good God is. And what I love about it, though, is that it gives us a chance to release our faith, because we're hooking our faith up with how amazing our God is. We sang about the blood, about his stripes. We sang about the lion and the lamb, how great his victory was and is for us. And so grateful for that. So we're declaring the word. We need the word of God, but we also need the praise and the worship to hook up with what we know is ours. Amen? So how do we know if we are worshiping from our hearts? Do you mean it? It's simple. Is your heart engaged? I dated a guy when I was 15 years old, regrettably, and bad memories. And he was from Texas. And he used to say, "I love you, darling." And I thought, "You don't either." Because I could tell by the way he was talking to me, he was just saying something. You know what I mean? You can just tell when somebody, they don't really mean what they're saying. Their heart is not engaged, right? So when we get into this place, is your heart engaged? Do you really, really mean it? Where is your attention set? Is your focus set on him? Is it all about you, or is it all about him? So again, you don't pray your way through a battle. You praise your way through a battle. You lay hold of it through prayer, but you praise your way through from a place of victory. You praise your way. So the devil will make you feel like you're on the wrong road. How many have done this? You've been praising God, you've been worshiping, you've been thanking him for the healing, for the finances, for the answer, and you're, you know, a week in and you're like, "Man, I'm not seeing a change. I'm not seeing a breakthrough. I'm not seeing it." And the devil will say, "This isn't working. You're just making your voice tired. You're tired. Sit down. Sit down. Don't listen to them. Don't lift your voice. They're just making you do this. They're trying to control you." All these voices coming at you. Let me just tell you, the enemy will cause us to get back into the mental arena. When we're trying to hook up our hearts, the mental arena will try to take over and tell you, "This isn't working, this isn't enough." Let me just tell you something. The praises of my God is strong enough to win battles, is strong enough to win victory over cancer, is strong enough to win over brain aneurysms, is strong enough to replace an ovary, is strong enough to raise the dead, is strong enough to do what you need in your life. It is strong enough. And the moment we start entertaining that thought, it's not strong enough, you're listening to the devil. So we can't listen to those things, amen? We don't take counsel from a failure. The devil is a failure. We don't listen to him. Why are you listening to a failure? Why are you listening to the one who was cast out of heaven? Why are you listening to him? He's full of pride. Don't listen to the enemy. You're not a part of his household. You're a part of the household of faith. Amen? So you don't take counsel with the enemy. You take counsel from the Holy Spirit. Praise God. The greatest thing that you can do in the midst of opposition is become skillful at being a praiser. You know, I love, my mom tells the story when my father was, he was taken in a plane crash. And when I was 13 years old, she said the first thing God told her to do was praise me through this. And so, you know, my mom's a singer. She had a little studio in her room and soundtracks. Back then we used those cassettes. Y'all remember cassette players? We had cassette players. I even remember the reel-to-reel thing too. But she'd play that thing, and I remember her singing the highest praise. And I remember her lifting her voice when things became challenging, when you've lost a loved one, someone that you've, you know, have dated since 15 and married early. It can be a challenge. You got 3 babies to raise. It can be a challenge. When you don't know how to provide, it can be a challenge. But in the face of your challenge, you lift up praise, and the praise is what will carry you through. Amen? Praise is always the answer in every battle. While you're praising, the Holy Spirit will get things to you. How many have ever gotten answers in worship? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm sitting around talking about the problem, if we do that, not that we do, but, you know, just in case, some of y'all, perhaps, not this church, maybe it's the other church, sit around and talk about the problems, right? I'm just teasing. When you're sitting around talking about the problem, you realize the Holy Spirit is not here. Where is your voice, Lord? All you're thinking about is reasoning and trying to figure it out and analyzing. And there's no leading of the Holy Ghost in that realm. That's sense and reasoning, and we've been delivered from that place. But the leading of the Holy Spirit will reveal His will in our life. And in that place of worship, we can get great answers and great direction. Amen? Praise releases faith. Prayer plays a part of what praise, but praise takes you to the place of His flow. I'm so thankful for that. There's a flow of the Holy Ghost, and it's in that place in praise. You can pray in worry. How many have ever done that? I've done that. You know, I believe in God for my eldest son, and I'm praying, and, oh, Jesus, you know, I'm praying in tongues, and all of a sudden my mind is going off over here, and I'm imagining him beaten and all these things. I don't need to talk about it too much, but all this dumb stuff that the devil's telling me while my mouth is praying in the Spirit. Have you ever done that? You have to engage. When you're praying, you have to engage your spirit to hear from God. So it's a safe place. I'm not saying don't pray, but it's a safe place when you're praising over your situation because your mind is engaged with what you're saying. Thank you, Father, that you're working on my son's behalf. Thank you, Lord, that he's the seed of the righteous. He'll serve you all the days of his life. Thank you, Lord. And you start thinking about the word that you've already put in your heart, and those seeds will rise up, and you'll start declaring some things. And you're not just praying in the Spirit, and you're in autopilot over here, and your mind's over here imagining vain imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ, right? We have to guard ourselves up by praying in the Spirit, but praise will take us to the place of the Spirit. It'll get us in that place where we'll be able to be in heaven's flow. Amen? So don't pray in worry. Don't be in panic or doubt and unbelief. The devil loves us doing religious acts to keep us in works. He loves when we get into this place of, well, I got to do it this way. I got to do it that way. No, you need to be led by the Spirit. Get up in the morning and say something good about your God and praise Him. The Word tells us what to do. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. You know, David is such a great example for us. He was a warrior, yet he was a shepherd. He was a king, and he defeated his enemies over and over again. And I don't think Goliath was his only one. There were several. But he knew the heart of God, and he was a worshiper. And he knew how to get into that place of worship where there was power. There's power in worship. Amen? How many have ever experienced power in the Spirit while you're worshiping God? Praise God. All right. Praising employs the mind and the Spirit. So there you go. That helps you. Why does it feel like sometimes when we're praising, it feels dead? Have you ever had that experience where you just lifting up some words and it's like, okay, I'm just going through the motions? Because you're having to shift gears. You're having to shift from the flesh, from the natural mind, into the Spirit mind. There is the mind of the Spirit, the mind of Christ. And so we have to get into that place where we're hearing from Him. We're not just imagining things on our own, right? Excuse me. So the enemy wants us to go by what we feel. So nothing seems to be working. Have y'all ever been there? Yeah? So we have to continue. I think I've told this story before, but I was actually in a Mark Hankins meeting, and I was not feeling well. My throat was gone, or my voice was gone, and they kept saying, let's just praise Him. We need to praise Him. If you need a breakthrough in your life, let's praise Him. Lift up your voice. And we were lifting up our voice. Yeah, you know, and then we sit, and then I sat down. No, you need to praise Him. Let's praise Him some more. Let's praise. And my head was going, I have praised enough. I have praised for over an hour, and I think that's sufficient. I'm going to sit down. So the Holy Ghost quickened me. He said, you're not listening to the leading of what the leader is doing, and he's being led by me. You have to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost through what's being done in the front. And so you need to get up and praise the best you can. So I got up and praised. Now, backtracking, I was believing God for a breakthrough for one of my kids. There was a situation that was it's like he couldn't get free from something. It was bondage. It was a 5-year deal. And I'm like, Lord, help. We need your help. And it seemed like everywhere he turned, he couldn't get away from it. It was demonic. It was a demonic attack on his life. And so I was believing God for this breakthrough for him. 2 hours later, we're worshiping, praising. I have no voice left. I'm exhausted. And he calls me and says, Mom, this happened. He got free from this situation. And I'm like, and the Holy Spirit said, that's what you were worshiping your way through. You were worshiping your way through that thing that was holding on to him. There's deliverance in our worship. And it's sometimes on somebody else's behalf. Not just for you, but maybe for someone you're related to or someone that God lays on your heart. Amen? And so praise your way through that battle. Help that person if God's leading you to do so. Praise God. Torment will greet you every morning. How many have had that experience sometimes? The other morning, I wasn't even awake yet, and this thought came to me. I don't even remember now what it was. I just remember having the feeling of this thought coming to me. And all of a sudden, I sensed fear and dread. Have you ever done that? Just been in your sleep, and all of a sudden, maybe you guys are holy, and you don't have that happen. But all of a sudden, and it seems like when you're either tired or you maybe not feeling good or you're really occupied with too many things, you're too busy, and there's this, all of a sudden, this idea comes into your thoughts, and it's the devil bringing torment. Well, let me first of all say, torment is not of God. Confusion is not of God. He leads us with peace and with joy. And so the moment that thought came in, I was like, where'd that come from? That's not God, because I know you don't lead me by torment. And so I just started worshiping and thanking God and praising him, and it went away. You know, these little things, these little areas are the areas that we need to train ourselves in, so that when we train ourselves in these small areas, then it's easier. We're in the flow of heaven. It's easier for us to stay in that place of the Spirit. But it's being intentional. Here's my word. It's intentional. You have to do it. We let days go, just like last night when I was, you know, I was like, Lord, what is it you want to say? And I'm reading my notes again, and I'm like, oh, I just need to praise. I just need to praise you. So I started praying, and then I started praising and lifting up praise to him, and all of a sudden, clarity came. Clarity will come when you praise. Clarity will come. It'll push out the darkness of torment and fear and unbelief and dread. And all of a sudden, you know why? Because light comes. He inhabits the praises. Light comes, dispels the darkness, and all of a sudden you can see again. It's kind of like, you know, we live in a world where things are so... I saw somebody, they were talking about how pollution was affecting where they were. It was so heavy. I guess you can see it on your phone. I've never really paid attention, but you can see what the air quality is on your phone. Do y'all pay attention to the air quality? Yeah, I guess you can see what the air quality, good, don't do it. You can see what the air quality is on your phone. This person was making a big deal about how the air quality was the worst it's ever been. And he couldn't wait to get out of there. And I'm thinking, you know, that's kind of the way it is when you're not worshiping. The air quality just becomes tainted and foggy and heavy. You can feel it, right? You can feel it. And all of a sudden you start praising God and the air quality just clears out. Things become clear. Things become right. Praise God. I'm not even at my... Okay. It's not my job to run out pain or to feel better. It's my job to open the door for the Father to come in and do the work. There's freedom in that. It's not my job. It's my job just to receive from his presence. It's not my job to make it happen. He already made it happen. All I have to do is just get into that place of praise and receive it. Hearing from God will help you change your thinking. You don't win the battle just by praying. You win battles by praising your way through. I want to make sure you're getting that. So sometimes you can spend so much time in the Word trying to navigate through a difficult time, when a praise on your lips will equip you to press forward faster because of the action of your faith. Don't labor over something if you don't feel an anointing. I'm not saying don't get in the Word. You stay in the Word. But if you're laboring over something and you're trying to get an answer, sometimes you just need to take a step back and just worship. Because there's a place of freedom in worship. How many have heard of the praise cure? Y'all have heard of the praise cure? I think it was Lillian B. Yeoman who started, if you know who that is, she was a nurse, slash she ended up being a minister through the years, and she's got an amazing books. I have one book, and it has several of her books in it on healing. And she became addicted to drugs, controlled substance, and I forget what it was, what originated, but anyway, she got free from it. The Holy Spirit walked her through it, helped her. But she talked about how the praise cure, the Lord was showing her. Let me just read just a little bit of this. A missionary in China named Rosa Smith contracted smallpox. She faced the natural circumstances, no vaccine, no cure, no hope of survival. She didn't beg God. She didn't pray and hope he would do something. She didn't start a prayer chain. In faith, she asked him what to do about it. And this was his answer for her. Praise me. Praise me for my faithfulness to my word. Then he showed her a vision of an empty basket labeled praise. He told her when she had filled it to the top, she would receive her healing. So even as ill as she was, she began singing, shouting, praising the Lord. The doctors thought she was delirious and told her to be quiet. But she kept on praising. When they told her if she recovered, she would be disfigured for life, she praised louder and stronger than ever before. She shouted and sang and praised until the Lord showed her the praise basket was full and overflowing. And then she fell asleep. When she woke up, the symptoms had vanished, leaving no trace, not even a single scar. The world didn't have an answer for her trouble, but God did. Praise was the cure. Praise is the cure. So you all know this story, 2 Chronicles 20:15. If you'll turn with me, 2 Chronicles 20:15. There were three enemy kings, three nations that were coming against God's people. They fasted and they prayed, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon a prophet and told him this. He said, "Hearken, all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, the Lord says to you, be not afraid or be dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's." The circumstances can be big. They can be three nations big, three enemies big, right? But you can be outnumbered, but you're not outpowered because you've got the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So there's a strategy. Worship is a strategy that will keep you in the victory flow. When we are strategic, are skilled at praise and worshiping, we'll see answers. We'll see the victory. So in 2 Chronicles 20:16, he tells them what to do. He says, tomorrow, he gives them instruction and tells them what's going to happen. Tomorrow, you go down to them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the ravine before the wilderness of Jeruel. He said, it's the Lord's battle, but they still had to show up with their faith. They still had to show up with their faith. You might think that this battle is the Lord's, and it is, but you still have to show up. When you come into this place and you're walking in, I'm showing up with faith because I know how big my God is. Amen? When you're facing a cancer diagnosis, you show up with faith, right? You don't lay down and just say, well, if it be the will of God or maybe. No, you show up with faith and you take a hold of it like a bulldog on a bone and say, I'm going to have it because God said I could have it. So 2 Chronicles 20:17 says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your position. What were their positions? It was a worship stance, a praise stance. Stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Fear not, be not dismayed. Tomorrow you'll go out with them, for the Lord is with you. So you don't just sit inactive. Every miracle has your obedience involved in it. Every miracle has your obedience involved in it. So 2 Chronicles 20:18 says, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. What was he doing? He was praying. He was laying hold of it. And all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord. And then what did they do? They worshiped. They worshiped. And some Levites, what were the Levites? Sorry? The praisers, yes. And the Kohathites and the Korahites, all the ites, stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voices. Now, let me just touch on this. Sometimes you need to lift your voice louder than the enemy's voice. And sometimes when we're leading that direction, lift up a praise, lift up worship. Let's say something about our God. How big is your God? There's a reason for that, because there is a sound in the spirit that we're hearing. We have to get that sound out to overcome what the enemy is trying to say to you. Sometimes your voice needs to be really loud. You might say, well, that's not my personality. Well, it wasn't my personality at one time either. At one time, you notice I said one time. When I first started singing, I was 19 years old. I started traveling with a group, and someone said to me, you need to use more emotion. You need to be more expressive. And I said, I don't want to be fake. No, I was very shy. I was not like this. This is the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. Anyway, I was very shy, and my leader said to me, you're not being fake. You're allowing what's on the inside to become on the outside, to be revealed. You're letting what God on the inside be revealed to others around you. That's all you're doing. And so when we're lifting our voices and we're praising God, all we're doing is saying, God, you're bigger than our circumstances. You're bigger than how I feel. You're bigger than what's in my bank account. You're bigger than this relationship situation. I know you're bigger than all the things that are going on in the White House. I believe that you are God. And we're lifting our voices, declaring something. There's something about the victory in the sound of your voice that makes the devil know you mean business. I was raised in Lester Sumrall's church. He wasn't quiet about casting out devils. He didn't go, come out in Jesus' name. No, you knew he was casting out a devil when he was casting out a devil, because he was using a voice of authority. We have a voice of authority that we need to use in our worship and in our praise to let the devil know we mean business. Amen. All right, so they worshiped and they praised him. What is God directing you to do when you're in a bad situation? Worship and praise. 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord God. He's saying, believe this. This is going to happen. You will be established. Believe, remain steadfast. He's saying, don't veer off from what this prophet, his prophets has told us to his prophets, and you shall prosper. The prophets represented the word, or the leading of the Spirit, the leading of the Lord. What is he leading you to do? What is he leading you to say? It can be trusted. That's basically what Jehoshaphat was saying. You can be trusted. And he reminds them all of what God said. People slip back into the mental arena sometimes, and we forget what God said. What has God said about your life? What has he said about your circumstances? What has he said about your body? What has he said about your marriage? What has he said about your future? Hold on to what God has said. Hold on to it. 2021, when he had consulted with the people. Now, I find it interesting that he consulted with the people, because he had just heard from the prophet. He had heard from God, heard from the prophet. But it says he consulted the people, and then he appointed singers to the Lord and praised him in their holy garments as they went out before the army. I think, this is my own take, but when he consulted with people, he wanted to know who were the worshipers. Who were the ones that are going to offer up a sacrifice of praise? Who are the people that are going to be able to lead us with a voice of triumph? And they found out who they were, and then he appointed them, saying, and then he said, and then he told them what to say. I want you to say this: give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. The king consulted the people. He appointed singers and praisers. Who were the praisers? The praisers were out front. Okay, now just imagine Zach, imagine Daniel, whoever else might carry. I don't know if you're carrying now. I'm just saying that we know you guys carry. And they've got their guns. And you've got three nations coming in, three enemies coming in after you. And I say, okay, we're going to put the praisers in front, Emma and Amanda and Hunter. All the praisers go in front, and then Daniel and Zach, you guys go behind us. Do you think that would fly? Everybody be like, what? What? The weapons are behind, but you know what? The weapons were in the front because the weapon is in the praise. The weapon is in the worship because he inhabits the praises of his people. Amen? So those weapons were behind the praisers. So let me just say this. When the enemy presents something to you, your response is so vital. Your response to the enemy will either annihilate or activate the power of faith on your behalf. It'll either annihilate or activate the power of faith on your behalf. Words have to be spoken in line with the Word of God. You've got to know what the Word of God says about your situation. That's why you need to get in the Word. But you can activate the power of God through your response. We're first responders. First responders respond with the Word of God. Amen? Okay. Are you good? You got a little bit more. So, praisers go out. They're not talking about how they feel. They're not talking about what they see. They're not talking about what they're thinking. They're saying, what's enough for a nation? Our God is big enough. Your situation, he is big enough. He is enough. The word is enough. Amen? Not talking about the threats, not talking about their feelings or any of those things. So they went out saying, praise the Lord. He is good. His mercy endures forever. When you put praise in the front, you're putting God in the front. When you put praise in the front, you're putting God in the front. I remember my father-in-law was in Italy, and he was had gotten a scratch on his arm and had gotten, sepsis, that. He got that, and it almost took him out. And their health system there was different, and so he kept getting pushed aside, and he was a tall man, and their beds were small, and he's in the hallway hanging off a bed and was hallucinating. He was seeing things. And he was nigh unto death. And the family called, they called for the family to help. You know what my husband does? He writes a song. He wrote God of My Mercy. And he wrote this song about God being merciful to save his father. He actually wrote about 3 or 4 songs and sent it over because he couldn't go. So he sent his songs. They played that music, and that music, I believe, was very instrumental in raising up his dad from the deathbed. And he was saved. Praise God. So there's power in our praise. Power in our praise. Faith and obedience is our part. Power is God's part. We obey what he tells us to do. God meets us with his power. Not showing up with our faith praises is showing up without God, faith in God. Not showing up with our faith praises is showing up without faith in God. Don't let it be routine. Don't let it be mundane. But another praise song. Here we go. Here's worship. It's just another meeting. No, we're coming expecting. We're coming with praise on our lips and faith in our hearts. Amen. 2 Chronicles 20:17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. I'm going back to the scripture. Take your position, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord who is with you. Fear not, be not dismayed. Tomorrow you'll go out with him. Their best marksmen were out front with the worshipers. They had to face the enemy with faith. Faith faces things and isn't swayed. Faith is a shield. This came to me when I was writing this out. Faith is a shield. It's a part of Ephesians 6. It talks about the armor of God. I got my feet shod with the preparation of peace, got my sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, a breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. Faith is a shield. So when we walk out with worship and praise on our lips, we're walking out with faith. We're walking out with a shield about us. It protects us against any fiery darts of the enemy. So we can face whatever we're going through. We don't have to fear it. We don't have to be overwhelmed. We don't have to respond to anything other than what the Word of God says. If you respond wrong, God can't fight for you. You give place to the enemy, and then you got to back up and start over again. Put your praise in front of your problem. People who are walking in victory are people who are praisers. Praise God. Praise magnifies God's ability, not your own. I don't know about you, but I know I can't do some things in and of my own strength. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. So when I magnify God, I magnify his power, his abilities, and there's a divine refuge and a divine victory in this place. Aren't you thankful for that? So when you employ your praises and your worship, it allows him to work on your behalf. There's healing mercies. There's delivering mercies. There's financial mercies. And when you might say, I feel outnumbered sometimes, you need to praise. Don't be overwhelmed by your circumstances. I truly believe this is the answer. I truly do. I believe that if we'll lift up more praise and we'll lift up more worship instead of talking the problem and trying to figure it out, we lean too much on our own understanding. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. How do we acknowledge him? How do we allow him to direct our paths? It's through that avenue of praise and worship. Amen. Amen. Has this helped you a little bit?